This is Dave Meldahl of Meldahl Leadership Development, and today I'm talking with Freedia Wolf of Wolf Consulting about women and leadership. She has some tips that both companies and women, I think, should know if they want to advance women leaders.
Thank you, Dave, for inviting me to talk to you today. It's always a pleasure.
Well, you're welcome. You're more than welcome. Freedia, there's a lot of talk these days about women and leadership. Don't you think from my perspective, it's kind of surprising that there's still so few women in senior leadership roles in so many industries. What's up?
In some ways it is surprising because girls are now outperforming boys academically, and they're graduating from college in higher numbers relative to boys and represent over half the entry-level workforce. So it's easy to believe that the issue of lack of women leaders will just go away.
So, is that what we can expect?
Unfortunately not. Because we still see all too frequently that once they reach mid-level management, many women seem to plateau in their careers or to drop out. They just don't seem to have the staying power to get to the very top of their organizations. Maybe it's because organizations themselves haven't evolved in a way that creates an environment that's friendly to women's needs. But this is not destiny, and it's possible to do something to change this.
Well, that's good. But at the end of the day, Freedia, why should we care? Why is this a problem?
Well, Dave, because there are both financial costs and what I call opportunity costs for both companies and for the women themselves.
Okay. What do you mean?
Well, when companies fail to attract high potential women, or when there are environments in which women fail to thrive, they ultimately pay a high financial price. The financial cost comes from the waste of money invested in the recruitment and training of women early in their careers, only to see them walk out the door. And the opportunity cost comes from seeing the best talent scooped up by their more savvy competitors and not benefiting from the stronger financial performance that has been shown to result from leadership diversity.
Can you say more about that for you, if you could?
Sure. You know, studies have shown that when senior women do have a seat at the table, companies benefit from having their different perspectives and style and broader representation of stakeholders. And it's not only the companies that lose out from the waste of potential. Women themselves suffer, because if they feel frustrated at a lack of recognition or thwarted in their career development, they may tune out or opt out or burn out at just the moment that they could be developing into high-performing leaders and could be turning their back on significant earning potential over their working lifetime. So it really is a problem for the individual and for companies and for society.
Okay, that makes sense. So what can be done, though, to change it? How can women advance their careers and be taken seriously as leaders?
It's a complicated puzzle because the roots of the problem lie in the structure and culture of the organization and in the attitudes of both women and men. But I think there are three levels at which the problem can be addressed.
And what are those?
Well, first, the very top leaders need to recognize this as a high priority. Once the most senior management gives its blessing to exploring objectively what is contributing to the absence of women leaders and is willing to allocate resources to turning this around, then change can happen.
Okay.
And second, the system has to be examined. People need to ask questions like this. What workplace policies and practices help or hinder the advancement of women leaders? What aspects of the culture have a positive or detrimental impact? Are the men who work with women as their managers or peers or direct reports aware of ways in which their language or behavior may reflect unconscious biases? In fact, greater interpersonal awareness can help leaders be more effective with both men and women.
Well, I agree. That's absolutely true. You mentioned three. What's the third?
Well, women themselves need to step up to the leadership plate, and they need to take more responsibility for their own advancement.
And, okay, how do they do that?
I think if women realize they're not alone in this, that is one big breakthrough in itself. So often we struggle in isolation and don't recognize that we're not the first or only person to be wrestling with our particular challenges. There are people to talk to. There are ways through the barriers. And it's important to recognize what you can change and what is simply beyond your control.
Yeah, that's well said. But can you give some examples of what women really can do?
Yes. I think there are five areas that many women would do well to focus on if they want to be proactive in advancing their own leadership career. And I call them the five V's: values, visibility, voice, and vision.
Okay, you got me. I'm interested. That sounds intriguing. Tell me more.
Sure. Let's look at the first one, value. I think a big pitfall for many women is not being able to clearly articulate what their own value is. They may not be fully aware of how they contribute to the business, or they may be afraid to talk about their accomplishments. But either way, their reluctance to name and claim their value is costing them dearly.
Yeah, that I can see that. What can they do, though, then, to ensure that their value, I guess, at the end of the day, is actually recognized?
Well, they have to understand it first and foremost. So they need to be proactive about seeking feedback and working on any issues of personal style that may be getting in the way of their realizing their potential. Then women need to get practice in making the business case for what they do. They need to get into the habit of thinking through the connection between their actions and positive business results. And they also have to get over their embarrassment at drawing attention to these accomplishments. And finally, they should recognize how much they'll benefit from having champions or sponsors who recognize their value too. So they need to cultivate those relationships. These are all excellent ways to influence perceptions and start getting their value noticed.
You know, I've noticed, I think you're right on, I've noticed that many women tend to be, unfortunately, reluctant to, you know, what we say, toot their own horn, and they often get overlooked, I think, as a result.
Yeah.
That is unfortunate. What's the second V again?
The second V is values with an S. Often women feel very torn between conflicting priorities, and they have a hard time balancing family, personal, and work responsibilities. This is where it's really helpful to get very clear about what your core values and principles are. When you have absolute clarity about what is most important to you, what your primary drivers and priorities are, it's so much easier to draw the line between what is okay and what is not okay, to make important career decisions and trade-offs,
mm-hmm.
and to present yourself as a leader with backbone who knows who she is and what she stands for. You know, in my experience, this kind of inner strength counts far more than putting in endless hours when it comes to being considered for leadership roles and being noticed as a potential senior leader.
You know, that's very interesting, Frida. And I would, as you were talking, I'm thinking, you know, I think that's true for men, too.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about the third V?
Well, that's about visibility. It's about being more conscious about where and how you're seen. First, you have to be noticed as having leadership potential, and then as you rise in the organization, you have to be aware that people are watching you. But many women don't realize that they can have quite a bit of influence on managing these perceptions. Women really need to get off the sidelines and stop waiting for someone to tap them on the shoulder. There are many ways to make themselves seen and heard which do not require them to be obnoxious or unpleasantly pushy, which so many women dread. Some of the questions women can ask themselves are, have they got access to influential or senior people? How can they be seen as having something important to offer? And when they show up, do they exude executive presence? And if it doesn't come naturally to them, what are they doing to develop it?
You know, again, this isn't only for women, is it? But I think we still have the idea that a real leader looks like a man, don't we?
Yeah, in a lot of cases, that's true. So women have to be more aware and proactively manage these things.
Okay, well, that makes sense. What's the fourth V, Frida?
The fourth V is voice. This really means having the confidence to speak up, to ensure you're heard, and to be willing to take a stand, to have a point of view, and as you take on more responsibility, to develop your unique voice as a leader whom people will want to follow.
I'm liking these. These make sense. How about the final V?
That's vision, which brings them all together. It's the ability to get out of the weeds, to think strategically, and operate with a big plan. It's the ability to see what others don't see, to help them make sense of the uncertainties of the present, and to move forward with confidence to the future. And it also refers to the pragmatic need to have a vision for your own career so that you can make long-range decisions and take strategic steps that will get you to where you want to go. I just want to stress that all these V's are learnable, coachable skills, and that with feedback and practice, women can develop them all.
And when they do develop them, what happens?
Ah, magic happens. Breakthroughs. Transformation. You really see women gain greater confidence and effectiveness and productivity as leaders. Their team's performance and engagement improves, and they have more satisfying, sustainable, successful careers. And, of course, as leaders, they leverage all these positive results for the benefit of their companies. So there is a very high return on investing in the development of these women.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's talk real world. Have you seen people actually develop these abilities, and what's happened?
Oh, absolutely. This is exactly what my individual coaching programs and group leadership labs focus on. May I share a couple of stories about how people's careers were transformed?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay, great. So there was Lynn, who was a banker. She was denied promotion to senior vice president despite over 20 years of accomplishments in challenging roles, including a few tough international postings.
Mm.
The company was keen to have a woman of her caliber rising to senior leadership, so they asked me to work with her. It became clear that she needed to work on her communication style to become more clear, concise, and crisp, and so she would sound more like a senior executive. And she also needed to become a little bit more organizationally savvy. She had naively relied on her accomplishments to speak for themselves. She did good work and assumed that she could just stay in her office, not realizing how she could take charge of her own promotion process. So our work together helped her identify relevant stakeholders, launch a strategic outreach campaign, and strengthened her executive communication skills. And her sense of empowerment translated into greater executive presence and confidence. And within 6 months, she sailed through her promotion.
Mm, that's impressive. It sounds like Lynn had all the, I guess, the leadership abilities, but she just, for some reason, hadn't packaged or communicated them effectively. Is that it?
Exactly.
Okay. How about another example?
Sure. Let me tell you about Maureen, who I like to call an out-of-control controller at a global biopharma company. She had strong strategic skills, which I helped her to leverage to improve her own work situation. It became clear that she had simply not built a system of self-management into her days and found herself floundering and becoming increasingly isolated. She spent her time in unproductive meetings and activities. She was always reactive, always chasing her tail. We created new systems and structures to stop this downward spiral, which helped her turn around her own productivity and performance, and within a few months she was able to transform the way her department was led.
Hmm.
I'll never forget the first day we met, her eyes had clouded with tears as she thought she might have no choice but to leave her job. And on our last meeting, she was full of excitement and vitality, knowing she had a bright future as a leader at that company.
Well, that's another awesome example. Frida, you seem to deal with different kinds of people and situations. Is there some core at the heart of your program?
Great question, Dave. I think the heart of my work with emerging and established leaders, with women and men, is to enable them to realize their potential for excellence so they can be truly effective leaders of successful organizations. Essentially, what I do is to help them articulate and build on their strengths and work with them to make the simple changes that will have a huge impact on their business and on their careers.
Hmm. Do you have a particular leadership model that you follow or adhere to?
Oh, I'm pleased you asked me about this. It's important to have a commonly understood framework for what effective leadership actually looks like. My clients like the simple framework that I use that has four quadrants: personal, team, change, and business leadership. It helps them to focus on one quadrant at a time. And, of course, they're all interconnected, and improvements in one are reflected in the others.
Can you just say something briefly about each quadrant?
Sure. So personal leadership is how self-aware you are and how you manage or regulate yourself. And this is the core that underpins your leadership. Then team or people leadership is how you manage the people all around you, how effectively you communicate with your peers, people above you, and people below you in the organization, and how you build productive workplace relationships. Then change leadership is how you help others understand the need and agenda for change and how you exercise influence to achieve desired outcomes. And finally, business leadership is how you set direction and work with and through others to drive results.
Mm, that's very interesting, Frida. I'm intrigued. I want to learn more. There are probably others that would like to learn more. How can people learn more about what you're describing?
Well, first off, they can go to my website, which is www.wolfconsulting.com, where they can find more resources, information, and tips about leadership and workplace issues. And if they want to learn more about my thoughts on women leaders, they can download a free article there called Where Are the Women Leaders?, which is about 10 common pitfalls that impede the advancement of women leaders and what to do about them. And, of course, I'm always happy to talk to people personally. They're welcome to contact me directly for a complimentary consultation.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Freedia. This has been outstanding. By the way, everyone who's listening, Freedia's website is www.wolfconsulting.com. That's W-O-O-L-F with two O's. Her email is fwolf, that's F-W-O-O-L-F, at wolfconsulting.com. Or her phone number is 617-842-0245. Again, thanks, Freedia.
And thank you, Dave. It's great to talk to you.
And we're done.